We begin the celebration of Easter. It's our privilege to kick it off this year. You know, Easter, to me, is one of the most humbling seasons of the year. Because when we think about that cross, which is center stage, that cross bore a man who was sinless, yet he had my sins. And to me, that's humbling. We welcome you online. Thank you for being with us today. You know, back in the 60s, there was a television program called This Is the Week That Was. How many of you watched that? Okay, there's a few of you with a sense of humor like I have. It was from the BBC, and it was a very sarcastic look at the past week. But they always came across with new shattering news and things that changed everything. Well, I want you to think about it. When Jesus was born, he changed time. The old system just didn't work. It was a new time, a new day. And when Jesus rode into town on a donkey, it changed the world. I don't know how often you look at that week. You know, his disciples had warned him, don't go. I mean, Peter literally wanted to get in the way, because after 3.5 years, they knew what awaited Jesus in Jerusalem. Everywhere he went for 3.5 years, think about it. The Pharisees, the Sadducees showed up, and they tried to put him down. They tried to make him look bad in a crowd. They cast doubt on everything that he did. I mean, can you imagine 3.5 years? I tell you what I think about. I used to live right on the backwaters of the Halifax when I first moved here. And I had a dock, my boat, and I'd go there early in the morning, about 4:30, and that's where I started my time in prayer. But about time the sun would come up, no seams would show up. You know what I'm talking about? The little things you can't see, but they're nipping at you, and you spend there, and your arms are built up muscular because you're just waving at them at things you can't even see. That's what I think of these Pharisees and Sadducees. They were just a ripping pain, okay? And so when Jesus, knowing the culmination, I want you to think about Jesus' life as a funnel, okay? Wide at the top, and then it gets narrow towards the bottom. You see, from birth to death, he had one thing in mind. He was going to go to the cross. He was going to pay a sin debt that was not his. He was going to buy back the creation that he had created when he created this world, a creation that was in prison, a creation that could not help themselves. Though they had the law that said, this is the way, their lives proved there was no way they could take care of it. Jesus knew what he was doing. But what I like about it, he started his trip into town on a donkey. Every good Jewish person knows what that means. The kings would come into the city on a donkey to show their humility. When Adonai, Solomon's brother, tried to usurp and take the throne away from him, David on his deathbed said, you put Solomon on my mule and you ride him through the city and people will know he's my pick for king. So that's what he did. And you would think that under the threat of death, okay, let's just think about it. Jesus would go hide out somewhere, right? He would just stay out of the crowd, wouldn't ruffle any feathers, just want to get by. That's what you would think, but not my Jesus. What did he do? No sooner had the crowds left and went home, Jesus went to the temple. The personification of the religious community of that day was the temple. And he made a whip and he began to cleanse that temple because it was to be a house of prayer. They made it a house of thieves. And then he began to tell parables right to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He talked about two sons, one faithful, one unfaithful. One the father sent to the field and he said, yes, he would go, but he didn't. And he told of the other son that told his father, no, I will not work in your fields, but yet he did. A picture of the Jewish people plying with religion, but refusing to follow Jesus. He told about a tenant that had a farm, and he rented the farm out and moved away. And he sent servants to gather fruit when it was time, but they would beat the servants, or they would kill the servants that came. They treated them badly. This was a picture, again, of Jewish religious leaders killing, persecuting the prophets because it was a parable about a king, King Jesus. He talked about a king through a wedding feast, and he invited all of the people closest to him. And when it was time for the feast, nobody showed up. When he sent his servants out there again to find out where they were at, they beat them and rejected them. Again, in the face of the religious community, that everything they were doing, all their pontifications, all of their robes and their righteous acts and the way they look, all of that was garbage because they were rejecting the Messiah. He told about, and he even went down to the point of challenging them with seven woes. A woe means not good. Woe to you for this. Woe to you. Warning them. And I think at the same time he was establishing truth, he was saying to these religious leaders, I'm going to give you one more shot. I'm going to give you one more chance to realize who I am. He went directly into talking about the end of times. And again, he attacked the temple. He said, this temple is not going to have one stone on top of another standing. You didn't talk about the temple. But Jesus was saying there's coming a day, even the signs, the sign of religion, is going to be destroyed. He said there's going to be accountability because there's a final judgment. He talked about sheep and goats. And in these sheep and goats, he separated them to those that had done his will and those that had not. And again, it was in the face of the religious community. I brought my Bible out because in reading, you know, every time you read something, you pick up something new. You get near the end of this, and I put my Bible, stupid question number one, stupid question number two, and stupid question number three. All right, these guys are faced with the Messiah. He had raised the dead. He had healed leprosy, given sight to the blind, cleared the ears of those who were deaf. He had healed every type of lame, brokenness. He had eat with sinners. He had reached out to people. And he had come to town challenging their authority in a way that had never been challenged, because he challenged them with a truth that they knew. Because everything he said this week was in Scripture, prophesied. So here's the best three shots that they could throw at it. Stupid question number one, should we pay taxes? Okay, in the whole realm of what Jesus is talking about, what has taxes got to do with it? Well, they were trying to stir up the people, maybe saying if he said no, the Roman officials would be mad. If he said yes, the people would be mad. But again, Jesus answered their question. Stupid question number two. Now here's a guy, long time ago in the comic pages, there was a guy called Sad Sack. I'm gonna start. You remember Sad Sack, right? Let me see who can, we got good memories. Sad Sack was he was just sad. He was a sad person. And I think the Sadducees were Sad Sacks of their day. I mean, even their name, it's sad, you see. It's a play on words. But the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, they came up. It was their turn at bat. So they came up to Jesus and they said, if a man has a bunch of wives and all of them die and he dies, whose wife is she in the resurrection? Well, stupid question. If you don't believe in resurrection, why would you ask a question about a resurrection, right? You see, they had run out of stuff to say. Stupid question number three. And finally, they said, what is the greatest commandment? And again, Jesus had them. He said, it's been written from old. You'll love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your being. And the other one is like it. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to grasp the fact that the greatest power in the Jewish nation had literally been brought to their knees, because nothing they could throw at Jesus stopped him. He had answers, and his answers was the life he lived and the truth. You see, I want to bring a parallel for today. You don't have to be a rocket scientist as a Christian to confute the lies and the filth of this morality and this society. Don't have to be. All you need is the truth. Truth. Jesus spoke truth. And people who even are opposed to truth know truth when they hear it. And they lose. They lose heart. In Matthew 26:1, here was their solution. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priest and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. Think about that. They stood in secret. So what'd they have? A trial in the middle of the night. An illegal trial. They paid witnesses. They bribed people to cry out for Barabbas. And no doubt in the crowd that said free Barabbas and crucify Christ was a lot of the same people that threw their cloaks on the road when he came to town. You see, Jesus did not back away from the truth of who he is and what he came to do. He challenged it. And that today, friends, is a lesson to you and I. Well, what happened? You know what happened. The trial, they beat him till they could not recognize him, made him drag his cross till they found a man to carry that cross for him. What they wanted to do in secret, they did on the side of a hill, a side that looked like a skull. It was called Golgotha. And they hung him high on that cross. See, they'd overlooked what the Bible had said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Christ was lifted up publicly. He died publicly. They took him off of the cross and buried him publicly. But, as you know, death couldn't kill him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Some of the greatest words in the world were spoken early one Sunday morning when some women went to the grave looking for Jesus. They literally said, "This angel, he's not here. He's risen." And the one that I like is the angel said to him, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." That's the story of Easter in a nutshell. It's a week of leaving behind a record of truth. It's challenging the lies that have held people prisoner. Satan held people prisoned through sin, the religious community, through a legalistic law. But prison is prison. And on the cross, Jesus set us free. That sacred holy of holies, ripped top to bottom, exposed, so all had entrance. See, guys, that's communion. That's what we do every week. And you know, sometimes as I watch, sometimes if I don't watch myself, it's like, okay, it's time. And you flippantly open, take the cracker, drink the drink. All right, what's next? I want to tell you something. That was the time that changed the world and changed your world and my world, if you'll let it. That cracker, that's the body of Christ given over for us. That juice, the blood that was shed. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So as we enter in this season, it's not another holiday in the life of a church. It's not another time for a great production to be outdone the following year. It's time to begin to think about why. It's time to think about how. And it's time to think about the end result of a resurrected Savior. I cannot emphasize enough. You can go to Jerusalem and look at several spots that they say is his grave. But the one thing that's exactly like on every spot, it's empty. because mission accomplished. And because of that death and resurrection, Jesus can offer you life and guarantee it with his life.